Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Philadelphia Sports Nation at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the Eastern Coast. I'm your host, Julian Bra, the King, and today I'm here right after the Eagles and Jets game. Final preseason for the Philadelphia Eagles as they lost to the New York Jets. Forget about losing, as this game mainly came down to the quarterback competition between Matt Barkley and Tim Tebow. Tebow, I must say, had a decent game, played a decent game as he threw for two touchdowns, threw up an interception, but still was able to throw pretty solid. And we've seen Tebow take some strides on throughout this preseason. I've been pretty impressed. Just as a backup, I think Tebow can definitely make this team. The Eagles are going to decide the fate of Tim Tebow and Matt Barkley tomorrow by 4 Eastern time, Friday. I expect the Eagles to make a decision whether Tebow goes, whether Barkley goes. Everyone, just like I, have been very intrigued by the Eagles' new addition, Tim Tebow, this preseason, but if Tebow gets cut tomorrow, then, hey, let's just say it was a nice run while it lasted. It was a nice run of Tebow mania while it lasted in Philadelphia, but must say that he deserves to make the roster at least as a third-string quarterback. I think he'd be suited to play as a third-string quarterback in Chip Kelly's system, as he must also get credit for how he adjusted so quickly in Chip Kelly's system compared to Matt Barkley, whereas Barkley has been playing in Chip Kelly's system for 3 years now. Under his third year in the system, Barkley, let's face it, struggled this preseason, especially tonight against the New York Jets. Barkley gave up some costly interceptions again, couldn't find a way into the end zone. As you saw throughout this entire preseason, throughout the entire preseason, Barkley could not throw a touchdown. Disappointing that Barkley hasn't shown enough as a quarterback in Chip Kelly's system for the third consecutive year. For the third consecutive year, we haven't really seen Barkley make too many strides in Philadelphia. We thought, solid game at first in the preseason, but as time went on, Barkley really just, and this is why I believe, hasn't really played up to expectations. First entering the league, we thought Barkley would be a solid quarterback, but as years have gone on, it's just been very disappointing of Barkley. And the Eagles front office took a chance on Barkley in the third round, but that pick of Barkley really hasn't paid off in the long haul, as Now the Eagles have to make, once again, a final decision tomorrow whether they should cut Barkley, whether they should cut Tebow. Let me hear your thoughts right now. You can call into the show by dialing 347-215-6966. Once again, 347-215-6966. I'm your host, Jordan Bradley King. You can find Philadelphia Sports Nation online at phlsportsnation.com, and you can also check us out on Twitter at PHL Sports Nation, at PHL Eagles Nation, at PHL Sixers Nation. We're just all over. We have a bunch of outlets in not only Philadelphia, but New York, Chicago, and other places, all run by Rick, of course. So once again, you can check us out online at phlsportsnation.com. But now it should be very interesting tomorrow as to what the Eagles do with Tebow and Barkley. I really can't say much else besides the fact that Tebow has surprised me, has really surprised me this preseason. Didn't think that he would do this good. I didn't think he was going to do this good at all, but because of all the work he put in with Tom House for 18 months over the off season, Tebow has gone together. Now, I must add that Tebow got off some lucky passes tonight between the New York Jets, but found a way with it's hard to remember some of the Eagles' preseason names, but one of their preseason wide receivers made a spectacular catch in the corner of the end zone in the latter part of the second half. Can't remember. It's a shame I can't remember because it's just such a spectacular catch. But Tebow was able to connect with an Eagles wide receiver in the end zone to complete his second touchdown in tonight's game against the New York Jets. Tebow, like I said, got, in this instance, got this pass off fortunately, because now as I take a look back, especially with my own DVR, I noticed that Tebow finds some of his throws off balance at times. Sometimes he relies too much on his front foot, needs to balance out his body a bit as he throws the ball. But make no mistake about it, he's gone a bit more accurate as time has shown. As time has shown, he's really gone a bit accurate. I think there's no denying it. Is there denying Tebow is the most accurate quarterback in the league? Yes, there is denying that Tebow is the most accurate quarterback in the league, but make no mistake about it, Tebow has put his name in the fold in the debate as to whether or not the Eagles should cut him or Barkley. Didn't think it was going to come down to this, but it has. It has, and you got to give Chip Kelly credit once again, how he just finds a way to insert some of these quarterbacks. Just plays off the players' strengths in his system in particular, and strives off their strengths over weaknesses. So, gotta give kudos to Chip, how he's designed this all out, designed some, like I was saying last show, designed some plays, Tebow, or challenging plays Tebow had to convert on third and eight. Chip put high expectations on Tebow to throw a little bit deep, and as we've seen throughout time, Tebow, 10 yards or more, has thrown the ball a bit more accurate, has thrown the ball pretty solid. So, no, it's just quite amazing that Tebow has come this far, Voice your comments in the chat room below. You can comment on Tim Tebow's performance throughout the preseason. Just amazing for my point of view. What would you say, one word to describe his preseason performance? Amazing, awful. Oh, don't want to watch Tebow Mania again, but no, Tebow Mania. I mean, I've always wanted to see Tim Tebow succeed, but now it's do or die tomorrow. Do or die. Will Tebow be part of the Eagles for the upcoming regular season, or will he be back with the ESPN crew and cover college football, SEC college football? So it'll be quite interesting tomorrow. But if I'm Chip Kelly, I'm gonna cut Matt Barkley. I don't really think Matt Barkley deserves much more time. He's had many opportunities to seize in Philadelphia, and he's really just faltered over time. He's really fallen below expectations, as I think Chip should decide to give up on Barkley. Give up on Barkley, as I think we should see Tebow, we should see Sanchez, and we should see Bradford come time week one of the NFL regular season. Now, there's been some speculation that RG3, Robert Griffin III, might leave the Washington Redskins. Oh, there seems to be some up and down morale within the Redskins locker room, but where things stand now, Kirk Cousins is set to start over RG3 week one of a regular season. Jay Gruden's made it clear that Kirk Cousins will be the starter for the entire regular season in Washington, which is hard to believe in my eyes, because the Redskins went back and forth last year with Cousins, Colt McCoy, and then RG3. It's just hard to believe. But then we go back to speculation that RG3 has been, and some people have thrown out the word cancer in the locker room, but I don't know if you ever have catched Brian Mitchell's rant on RG3. I highly suggest you go watch it. It pretty much sums up all of the Redskins' and RG3's misfortunes in Washington. RG3 has evidently lost his swag, has evidently lost his swag since his NFL rookie season in the league. But he's battled to play in Washington, but no. People argue with RG3's ego, with RG3's banter, with RG3's time with various coaches such as Shanahan and then Jay Gruden. people argue Robert Griffin III should be in Chip Kelly's system. It'd be hard to believe if RG3 wound up in Philadelphia, but, like I said all along, Chip Kelly has played to players' strengths, and RG3's strengths could happen to mesh with Chip Kelly's style of play. So, it's wait and see as to whether or not the Redskins will cut RG3. Not only the Eagles might be interested, but so might the Cowboys, so might the Cleveland Browns. Unsure at this moment, as there was a report the other day that the whole Redskins locker room was clapping for RG3, having a nice lunch with RG3 as contradictory as that sounds, but no. RG3 may stay in Washington, or may go elsewhere. Who knows? As his contract is set to expire after this year, could very well leave before this year or after this year. So, it's wait and see. Especially wait and see for former Eagle DeSean Jackson, as DeSean Jackson has voiced his feelings on the whole situation. DeSean, as we all know, isn't too happy about the situation. Won't be so happy if RG3 leaves. But what's this remind you of again? Who am I to say that this has anything, because maybe some of you would think that this has anything to do with race, but no, just come to think about it. Doesn't this remind you of the time DeSean Jackson didn't want to give up on, turned out Michael Vick got sidelined for Nick Foles to play? Doesn't that sort of remind you, or doesn't this current situation now between Kirk Cousins and RG3 remind you again of the Michael Vick, Nick Foles situation? I don't know. I can't really form an opinion on that, but DeSean decided to play in Washington for a reason, to play the Eagles two times a year, play with the most coveted prize couple years ago, our most coveted quarterback, RG3. So, I would say not most coveted quarterback, but one of the most coveted quarterbacks, as we had all dreamed of RG3 on our fantasy teams at one point in time. But that time has obviously come and gone, but shall be interesting what happens with the RG3 situation, what happens between Tebow and Barkley. But to elaborate more on tonight's game, I think The offensive line tonight could have done a bit better. Tebow and Barkley faced some pressure tonight, faced a little bit more pressure compared to previous games in the preseason. But I didn't really catch the first quarter, so I'm not really sure if I'm pretty sure Jason Kelce, you know, some of the Eagles starters, offensive line starters, sat out, but the offensive line depth has been one of the main concerns going into the regular season. From what I hear, the offensive line looks pretty good going in. Oh, it's done a solid job of preseason, but after tonight's game, I'd expect. And look, the Jets, so their first string defense is lethal. Is lethally good. But the Eagles offensive line, obviously has to make up for that. And, make up for the losses in the off season, of course. It's going to be a big season on the offensive line, as the biggest concern I hear is John Moffitt. And Eagle coaches expected Moffitt to struggle a bit throughout this preseason as he continues to adjust into Chip Kelly's system, as he continues to adjust after missing a couple years in the league. But no, it's going to be important how Moffitt gets some reps in the system a bit more and acclimates himself in the Chip Kelly system. But other than him, it's just going to be a big season for some guys like Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, and Jason Kelce to stay healthy, all of them to stay healthy. I've said on many shows now that Lane Johnson is the biggest key to this offensive line succeeding. Lane Johnson really needs to stay healthy this year and put on a wonderful season, if not Pro Bowl season. I think he could have a Pro Bowl season this year. Reuben Frank of CSM Philly went on to say he'd be a Pro Bowler a couple of years down the line, but forget a couple of years down the line. I think now's his time. Now's his time to prove that he can be a Pro Bowl offensive lineman after being selected as the fourth overall pick a couple years back. So I think there are definitely some high expectations on Lane Johnson. I'm putting high expectations on Lane Johnson going into this season. So definitely watch out for Lane Johnson, the Eagles' offensive line. Defense, of course, gave up some points tonight, but I guess you could say the Eagles sat out most of their starters tonight. Byron Maxwell sat out. Walter Thurman sat out. So I'm not sure. Actually, let me check here. Okay. All right. So, like I said, I didn't catch the first quarter, but in fact, I just caught here that Kiko Alonso did play tonight in the first quarter. So that was nice. It was nice to see Kiko Alonso in action for the first time as a Philadelphia Eagle. He'll be another main part of the Eagles' this very season. Another inside linebacker who will be not only important this upcoming season, but for the future is Michael Kendricks. I didn't touch on the fact that Michael Kendricks just signed a contract extension for 4 years worth $29 million. So, I'm really happy that the Eagles were able to retain the services of Michael Kendricks, as Chip Kelly said all along that Michael was always part of the plans going forward. Michael has been one of the Eagles' best defensive players for years now. So Michael Kendricks said yes to the contract, couldn't pass up on the contract, as stated to the media, and signed a contract extension for 4 years worth $29 million. So, really happy Michael Kendricks is not only part of the Eagles this season, but for the future being. So, very nice that we'll see Kiko, we'll see Michael, we'll see most of these guys. Some of the players we haven't seen yet are Zach Ertz. I'm just naming some players that are inactive as well, but we haven't really seen much out of Zach Ertz, Marcus Smith. Outside linebacker depth has been a concern going in. Mike Mayock tonight on the Eagles broadcast was expressing a big concern about the Eagles' outside linebacker depth. The Eagles don't really have much else besides Brandon Graham, Connor Barwin, and then team player Ryan Braman. That's all he really is, Ryan Braman, a special teams player. And the Eagles have so much depth. I said alone, they have so much depth, maybe the best depth in the league, at many positions, defensive line, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, possibly offensive line. But the secondary is one thing, but then outside linebacker depth, another. I hope that Marcus Smith can find himself back on the field at some point and prove that he is worth the first-round pick Philly acquired. So, shame we haven't seen much of Marcus Smith, not only this season, but last season as well. He has bulked up, but, the Eagles really need him, really need some others. One I haven't mentioned, essentially, the Sam Bradford. Bradford didn't play tonight, but played last week like it was his last game to prove going into the preseason. He was perfect on his throws. 10 of 10, threw some touchdowns, and proved that he can be one of the most accurate quarterbacks in this league, as Mike Mayock has alluded to many times. Definitely be one of the most accurate arms in the league. But again, depends on his health. Depends on his health. Eagles sum up the Eagles preseason. If you were to ask me to sum up the Eagles preseason, I would say they had a successful preseason. But now going into the regular season, and this is today's question, is there reason for Eagles optimism? Is there reason for Eagles optimism? Bradford had a wonderful game last week, but is there a reason for Eagles optimism with a hole at of depth at outside linebacker, some holes of depth in the secondary, possibly a bigger hole at quarterback with Sam Bradford out of the fold? So, is there a reason for Eagles optimism, as Las Vegas has ranked the Eagles as the fourth best team to win the Super Bowl? Fourth most favorite team to win the Super Bowl, behind the Colts, behind the Seahawks, behind the Packers. And I can't believe we're already talking Super Bowl here, but I think, like, most of us Eagle fans each year now have to take one step at a time, one step at a time throughout this season to realize whether this team is legitimately a candidate to reach the Super Bowl. Oh, I said before, I wouldn't get so upset if the Eagles down the Super Bowl this year, but they could at least win a playoff game or two this year, I'd be satisfied. I'd definitely be satisfied, but I know Chip has put higher expectations on himself. When you really look at it, he's really put high expectations on himself as coach / GM with the moves season. Over time, it'll really tell where this team goes, where Chip Kelly goes. Chip Kelly's been rated by some magazine outlets as the most popular coach in the NFL. But, you know, let's not mistake popularity with contest. Chip has made some bold moves, has made some risky moves over the off season that will either pay off or not. So, should definitely be a fun regular season ahead, as once again, the Eagles lost to the New York Jets in their final preseason game tonight. I was just thinking of this, but as I said last show, but on the last show I didn't express much excitement. I still stand by the fact that throughout the entire Chip Kelly era, I've never really gotten excited yet But I think as time goes on, as week 10 passes, I'll either be in the same mood or excited than ever to see the Eagles possibly go farther than expected. So, now should definitely be a interesting, fun season. But before I switch away from the Philadelphia Eagles, talk about some other players that deserve some consideration for the Eagles roster this year. Some players to name are Rashid Bailey, Philadelphia native. Think he could possibly make the roster this season. Mail has been the sixth wide receiver on the Eagles depth chart for years, but no, I think Rashid Bailey has outplayed Jeff Mail this preseason. Maybe Shaw deserves some consideration, as well as Kenyon Barner. Barner, we can't deny, had a wonderful preseason team, so he definitely deserves some consideration after returning two punts for a touchdown. The Eagles have some practice squad candidates. One particular is Connor Mihalik. Eagles, like I said, have so much depth on their defensive line. You can't feel or just coming from Connor Mihalik's standpoint, you can't feel ashamed if the Eagles don't invite you on the team for the regular season and opt for Mihalik to go on the practice squad. I think you can't really be quite disappointed or ashamed by that, with how loaded the Eagles are on their defensive line. But there are definitely some practice squad candidates. Some players can't get too down if they don't make the team, because they could still eventually make the practice squad. Ed Reynolds was a practice squad player last year. I think he might make the roster. He definitely deserves some consideration. I think Ed's one of those smart players, again, out of Stanford, who did some notable things throughout this preseason. Had that wonderful first game of the preseason. Has intercepted a few passes. And the Eagles need some depth in their defensive backfield as well. So I think Ed Reynolds deserves some consideration. Jalen Watkins had a solid game tonight. Intercepted a pass. Played well off his instincts to notice a curl route tonight and play his foot at first, but then jump on the ball quickly to intercept the ball. Did a heck of a job tonight, because Jalen's one of those players we're unsure will make the roster this coming regular season. So, now, I mean, players like Jalen and others have have really fought hard for a spot on this roster this year, but can't be ashamed, can't be too ashamed by what goes on tomorrow, as I think Chip Kelly will make the best decision possible. These remaining minutes, I want to switch on to the future of Ruben Amaro Jr. real quick. So Pat Gillick, current team president of the Philadelphia Phillies, recently stated that Ruben Amaro Jr., his fate will be decided within the next 30 days by the Philadelphia Phillies front office. So it's led to some speculation if the Phillies should get rid of Amaro or they should keep. And some fans are like, what are you talking about, man? They should keep Ruben Amaro Jr. There's been speculation Phillies might keep Ruben Amaro Jr. with how he's bolstered farm system this past year. Now, I don't go based off Baseball America ratings as much, but Baseball America ranked the Phillies farm system from the bottom 10 to the top 10. Just recently, so it's definitely to hang your head high on, but yet just one of those non-believers in that. Don't really believe much of that until we see some of these prospects really come up, but no. Ruben has done a solid job, and someone said this before, but you can't forget that Ruben Amaro Jr. has always been a part of the Philadelphia Phillies organization since the early 2000s, made his way up through the Phillies front office with Ed Wade and others to develop a core of Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, and so on. Phillies front office has always been a family for years and years and years, and so it's been reported that with how loyal the Philadelphia Phillies organization can be, it's possible Ruben Amaro could keep his job, but with John Middleton, the new owner, and Andy McPhail, the new team president, you gotta wonder, is Ruben Amaro Jr.'s job on the line completely? Maybe he can step out of the GM role and be demoted with speculation of Ben Cherington, former Red Sox GM, joining the Philadelphia Phillies organization by connections, ties with owner John Middleton. They go way back through college. So, I went to same university alumni, but found it quite interesting that Ben Cherington hasn't really voiced out much, besides the fact that he hasn't really looked elsewhere since his departure from Boston, which tells me that maybe Cherington already has an idea where he's going. Maybe he has an idea that the Phillies are to Ben Cherington this coming off season, as soon as Andy McPhail steps in as the new Phillies team president, but Ed Sheraton's not the only GM out there. There are also other GMs like New Jersey native assistant general manager of the Kansas City Royals, and others. So, the Phillies definitely turned around their farm system this past deadline, through tomorrow, particularly turn around their farm system at the deadline. But, will these prospects pan out? That's what I'm wondering. That's what I'm really wondering as time goes on. But, no. Just imagine if these prospects do pan out and make Ruben Amaro Jr. look really good in the process. You know? Just be something. But now with all the years of backlash at Amaro, something has to give as to whether or not he stays or goes. So, shall be interesting to say the least. Some of the prospects Ruben Amaro Jr. acquired at the deadline, such as Al Gasher, Jared Dykoff, have made their debuts recently, and must say Eichhoff has really pitched well so far. Pitched six scoreless innings in his Phillies debut, and hasn't really allowed too many runs thus far. With his 6'4" build, he's definitely a solid pitcher. Definitely a solid pitcher who has a nice mix of offerings. Nothing has shown me yet that Eichhoff shouldn't start next year in the Phillies rotation. I think as of right now, Eichhoff deserves some consideration in the Phillies rotation next year. So I've liked what I've seen out of Eichhoff. As for Asher, I expected Asher to be shaky in his Phillies debut as he gave up four earned runs through five innings. I'd say struggled, especially his curveball. I think in the off season he'll revisit the development of his curveball, add a bit more depth, as I think he used to work on that pitch, I think, Asher, but no, nothing too surprised that Asher about how Asher has played. I still see him most likely winding up in the Phillies bullpen for the foreseeable future. So, with Asher and Eichhoff promoted, Phillies decided to demote Jerome Williams to the bullpen. Thank goodness. just happy to see some new faces for once besides Jerome Williams and some other veterans, but one player in particular I've been very impressed with has been Darnell Sweeney. Darnell has the chance to have a long future in Philadelphia, and I truly believe he's the second, or I don't know, one of the best prospects the Phillies picked up this past deadline. Really feel that he could have a long future in Philadelphia. I say give him more time on the field, as he's been showing time and time again throughout short periods he can be an everyday player. I'm very surprised the Dodgers didn't view him in that light, but I truly believe he can have a really, really good career. Was saying at the deadline that, or past the deadline, when the Phillies acquired him in the Chase Utley trade, that he's just one of those other steals, like Odubel Herrera, who could have most likely opted for the Rule 5 draft, but instead left L.A. for Philadelphia. Look at his swing and, realize that his swing is pretty similar to Barry Bonds. I'm not saying he's going to be the next Barry Bonds, but the swing's very similar to Barry Bonds, and I said all along that even though analysts will say, Darnell's not going to be an everyday player, he doesn't have a plus tool. As time has passed, Darnell has proved some of the doubters wrong. He's really improved in certain facets of his game, and improved in power, improved in bat speed. He's really come together now, weighing down the major leagues, as I feel he'll only get better as time moves along. So, very, very happy by Darnell Sweeney's progress less far. But September call-ups have been happening lately, and the Phillies have opted to keep most of their top prospects down in the minors. Now the Reading Phils are competing for the Eastern League Championship right now, so they have JP, Nick Williams, Jake Thompson, and others still down there in Reading, including Andrew Knapp, whom I feel should get his start in the majors by next year. So, can only be happy that the Phillies are taking strides now in the right direction, as see more and more Phillies games now. It's tough enough through those years with Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, the same old core continuously. But it feels good that we're finally seeing the Phillies take some strides in the right direction. It's only a matter of time. Most of these prospects will pan out for the Phillies. Not all of them will, but will pan out for them and determine whether Ruben Amaro Jr. deserves a job in Philadelphia. But Nation, I've been your host, Julian Brow the King. You can, again, find PHL Sports Nation on the web at phlsportsnation.com. You can also find PHL Sports Nation on Twitter at PHL Sports Nation and Facebook. So it's been another episode of PHL Sports Nation with your host, Julian Brow the King. As hope you guys enjoyed another episode of PHL Sports Nation. We shall be back on the air prior to the regular season. The Eagles will get underway against the Atlanta Falcons. September 14th, Monday Night Football premiere. So we shall be back then as the Eagles season finally gets underway. So I will talk to you guys.